Welcome to Inside Scoop Live, a live audio program brought to you by ReaderViews.com. I'm your host, Juanita Watson. So I've invited on the program today author Sister Mary Elizabeth Lloyd to talk about her inspired and inspiring new book, AIDS Orphans Rising, What You Should Know and What You Can Do to Help Them Succeed. The website, AIDSOrphansRising.org. So this amazing book sheds light on the desperate issue of child-headed households, which are formed by the death of parents from AIDS. Left behind to take care of themselves, these little children, often four or five of them, struggle desperately to stay together as a family. So Sister Mary has been helping the orphans and the child-headed households of the missions of the religious teachers Filippini for the past 12 years. Her experiences in Albania, Brazil, Ethiopia, and India have spurred her on to produce her book, AIDS Orphans Rising, which takes readers through the daily lives of these forgotten children and includes many ideas on how you can help them make it in this world. Sister Mary holds a doctorate degree in nutrition and public health from Columbia University. So I'm just so happy to have Sister Mary on the phone today. Welcome to Inside Scoop Live, Sister.
Thank you, Anita. It's a great opportunity to get the word out about the children.
Yes, thank you so much for talking with us today. How did you first become aware of and involved with this issue of child-headed households?
For years, we've had child-headed households in Ethiopia, mainly from war. But what we were finding is that what was happening is more of the child-headed households were from the mother and father dying from AIDS. And we had to do something to help these children.
So was most of your work done in Ethiopia?
Most of our work is done in Ethiopia, Brazil, India, Albania, and those five countries, and Eritrea. Those five countries are the ones I'm responsible for our missions.
And how long have you been going over and doing all the travelings with this mission?
This is my 13th year beginning this, and we're seeing progress, but the AIDS orphans numbers are just continuing to rise.
They really are, and I know you have some just staggering statistics regarding these children. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Surely. The UN predicts that by 2010, that's 2 years from now, there'll be 25 million orphans from AIDS. But I just read today a site, May 7th to 007th, National AIDS Children's Day, they predict 100 million, and it's just the numbers are incredible of these orphans. And I can't tell you that these children are walking around with no adult supervision, little food, little clothing, and if good people do not help them, the world will really be in a bad space.
That's an amazing amount of children. And there's something I think I read on your website or somewhere that every 14 seconds a child-headed household is formed?
Yes, every 14 seconds there are little children where their mother and father have died from AIDS. Usually the youngest child dies first. The youngest child will get the AIDS. Then the mother dies and then the father dies. And these children then, three or four of them, sometimes more, are left alone to fend for themselves.
It's just incredible. You know, most of us just can't even comprehend.
Have you heard of this before?
Well, sort of, but really not to this extent. And I think that's just the case for a lot of people.
Yes, and you see these concerts for the AIDS orphans and all, but somehow the message isn't getting out to the people.
So why then? I mean, it's kind of obvious, but tell us about your decision to write AIDS Orphans Rising and what you were hoping to get across to readers and to the general public about this issue.
Yeah, the situation is very bad, but what I didn't want to make it a sad book. I want to show you that these children are rising. These are not just your street kids that are sniffing glue. These are four or five children that had a mother and father. They had a house. They had a life, and all of a sudden it's gone. And now these four or five children want to stay together, and they want to have a good life. Usually the oldest girl is the one that takes charge. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to help them make it. So we pay rent for some of them. Some of them have a house, so then we just help them get food. We give them all an education. The very small ones where the oldest child is maybe 8 and the youngest one is 3, we take them into the convent and help them until they can get on their own.
What happens to property rights that were in the names of the mothers or fathers? Do the kids get the rights?
very sad. Often what happens is the children group go together, the brothers and sisters, they'll walk to town looking for help, and as they're gone, unscrupulous relatives take over their whole, even if they just had a hut, the relatives will take over the hut, and these children, when they come back, are chased away by the relatives. By the relatives. Before, the relatives would take them in, but what has happened now is that there are so many orphans that the extended family members are just so overtaxed, and unscrupulous ones take everything away from these little children.
That is amazing. Even the grandparents?
The grandparents, some of the grandmothers are putting up with a tremendous burden. Let me give you one story. One of the grandmothers had 10 children. They all grew up and got married, and they all had their own children. All of her 10 children have died from AIDS, and all of their spouses have died from AIDS. And she has more than 50 grandchildren in her house. She comes every day for food, water for these children. It's just incredible. The grandmothers are going to be the ones to save Africa.
Oh, that's incredible. So many of the children, then, of the parents that have died, they also are carrying the HIV virus?
There are thousands of them that have it, but there are also many more that do not have it. And so these are the ones that the book is zeroing in on. You'd need a 10-volume book if you were to cover all the situations. But I tried to zero in on the children that do not have AIDS and that are trying to survive, and that perhaps everyone in your audience would be able to help them.
Mm-hmm. So where are you finding, is it in Africa that the AIDS epidemic is most prevalent?
In most of the readings that you see, it is. But then when you look closely, China doesn't record their numbers, but India has started to record their numbers. This year alone, India will have 4 million orphans from AIDS, a number that just is astounding to us. 4 million of anything we can't even comprehend.
Mm-mm.
But these are just children that will be alone without anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because a child who loses their mother and father from war can cry and tell everyone the story. But these children, they're ashamed. They know the story. They died from AIDS. But yet there are so many other children that their mother and father died from AIDS too that nobody cares.
Is there a lot of missionaries and mission work that's being done like the group that you're with?
We're doing a lot. There are many, many groups, and in the book I cite many of them that are trying to help these children. The big problem is that a lot of these larger groups will give aid to the governments, but not to small nonprofit groups. So that's where we're having the problem, especially finding food for the children.
Mm-hmm. So why is this epidemic reaching such a dire state at this point? Why do you think that the Western world isn't doing more to help these children?
Well, the international community ignored the issue from 1991 to 1997. They were hoping that they would be able to stop the epidemic, so they didn't concentrate on the orphans. They didn't even report it because they were hoping that. And so that's what caused it to boom, and now it's out of control.
Mm-hmm. And what about say, like the U.S.? What are you seeing being done as far as aid right now in the United States? And are people really willing to concern themselves with these issues that are basically going on, you know, on the other side of the planet?
Many Americans are, and most of the aid that you see over there is from America. I love it when I walk through the villages and all the bags, and the girls are so clever. They cut open the bags when they do get grain, and the bag says, "Compliments of the people of the United States of America," and they'll make a little dress, and this is the front of their dress.
Is that right?
It's just a beautiful little thing to see. And many Americans don't know about this, but the minute they know, they help. So that's why I'm hoping that this book gets out and people will realize, you see Oprah, how hard she's trying to educate the girls, and that's what we're trying to do, educate these children so they can survive.
Mm-hmm. So tell us more about this book, AIDS Orphans Rising. What kind of stories are you including? What can readers expect from this book?
A couple stories I'll tell you. One little boy, he came to us with his little brothers and sisters. He had no way of making a living, so sister, we gave him a little house and some food and got him going and said, gave him six eggs. Sister gave him six eggs and said, "All right, sell these, come back, and we'll give you some money and give you some more eggs." And so every day he'd sell the six eggs and come back, and it would grow. And as he got older, today he's got 500 chickens. He's got his own little house. He's got his own little market. He's doing fine, and he comes every day to give eggs to the sisters for the orphans that we're now trying to help.
Is that right?
Beautiful.
That is a beautiful story.
we've opened it. We call it the Pizza Gelato Initiative, and a man from Italy built us two pizza ovens, and we bought an industrial gelato machine.
Oh.
And the young girls, the oldest of the child-headed household, gets the first chance at this, and she learns how to make pizza, how to make gelato, and it's really a 21-course program. But when they're finished, they have a certificate, and they can either start their own stand or go work in the city. They have a certificate that says that they do know how to do these things, and they are getting work, and they are able to provide for their brothers and sisters.
So how many children go through this mission, and how long do they stay there?
Well, at each mission, we have about 700 children, but through the orphan, for the older girls, we have different initiatives going on. Let's say this pizza one. Mm-hmm. There are 21 girls that go through it every 6 months. Mm-hmm. Each program is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have another school where they also learn poultry raising, bee cultivating, things like that. And when they graduate, sister says to them, well, you know, which course did you like best? And if they like the poultry raising, they get 500 fertilized eggs. If they like sewing, they get a sewing machine at graduation, things like that. So we try to help to set them up in their own little micro enterprise.
Oh, that's wonderful. And then do they take that off into their different communities, or how, what happens after
yes,
that?
Yes, many of them stay within their own community where we are, but many of them go on to another village where there isn't whatever it is they're able to do, and that's why they're able to survive. So some girls learn how to make bread or different things like that, so they'll go to a little village that doesn't have a bakery, and they set up their own little bakery, and they're able to carry on. And these are 16-year-old girls.
That's incredible. You know, I've heard you use the words resilient and courageous when you talk about these children.
Yes.
I'd like you to maybe talk a little more to that point and what we can really learn from the strength in these children.
Yes, these children don't want to give up. A lot of people say to me, aren't you sad when you work with these children? No, you're not sad. These children want to make it. There's nothing sad about it. They want to go to school. They want to get an education. This impressed me the most. They want to go to school, and they don't mind working. So most of them go to school full-time, and they work full-time, and they're 10 years old.
Mm.
It's just incredible. And they have a smile on their face, and they know that they could sit in a corner and cry, and there are some children that do that. But most of them get up and go. They want to make their life good.
Where do you think that comes from, that they have that courage and that strength? It's really amazing.
It is amazing, and I think a lot of it comes from their own families, their mothers and fathers. They had good mothers and fathers, you know. They just got the sickness, and then they died. But these children know they were living, a good family life before their families got broken up.
Mm-hmm.
They have strong faith, too. In these countries, their religion is very strong. They believe in a God, mm-hmm. and they practice their religion. I think that helps a lot, too, when you have something else to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe in a heaven.
Oh,
you know, they believe there's something better coming, and they know that their mother and their father, you know, are up there waiting for them.
Isn't that amazing? So what about orphanages for these children? What are your thoughts on orphanages? What kind of orphanages do you see in these countries? And I'm sure that there are good ones, bad ones, pros and cons to this issue of orphanages.
That was very interesting when I was doing the research for the book, too. There's a great group called SOS Children's Villages, and they take on a lot of these AIDS orphans. And they actually just have a little village, and it's not a high-structured orphanage like in the old days. And the children do all the chores, and they seem very happy. And the children in our orphanage is the same. They have many chores. They go to school. But it's more of a family atmosphere. But what I studied was that the children that went through the orphanage, the higher percentage of them were happy that they went through the orphanage, as opposed to many who had gone through foster homes and had problems with that. There are so many pros and cons with that. But the orphanage, it was interesting, when the orphanages collapsed in America, that's when the welfare system began.
Oh, interesting.
And there's a big debate on that also.
Mm-hmm.
What caused that? But I think all orphanages can be good if they have good leaders and the people who are with the children are loving them. That's the trick of it.
Yes. So there are orphanages that are related to the mission that you're involved in?
Yes. We have in India we call them hostels. We don't call them orphanages.
Oh.
And in Ethiopia we call them homes.
Mm.
You know, and the kids are welcome. And the sisters have designed a nice system. When the girls, mainly for girls, we do girls. because 75% of these orphans are girls, and they're not going to get an education if someone good doesn't help them. So what we do, when they're 17 and 18, when they're finished high school, if they're not ready to go out in the world, we have another section where they each get a little home, and they stay with their brothers and sisters, and we call them apprentices.
Mm-hmm.
And they sort of help with the newer orphans until they're ready to go out on their own, or they get married, or, you know, how they're able to get on their own life.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing work. So why are there more girls than boys?
I don't know, but what I've seen lately, before when I would go, there would be a lot of little boys in these child-headed households, but I think the boys are running away now.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And also, extended family members, if you gave them a choice, they'll take a boy. The boy can work harder, and they know that the boy will get a job quicker and will be able to pay them some money.
Mm.
Very sad situation that way.
Mm.
Mm.
So many of these children, you say, are wanting education. What type of education are they predominantly looking for, and what are they going to need to succeed?
Yes, yeah. Well, they're happy to have any kind of education that you give them.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. But in our school, they get a regular elementary education, then we'll send them on to high school. But while they're getting their education half of the day, then they'll also learn a skill, a marketable skill, so that when they get out, they'll be able to take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Some kind of trade.
Initiative. They also learn business skills, how to keep the books, things like that. Yeah.
They do. Do you find that most of these children have had some level of education already?
The ones that come from the villages, no.
Mm-hmm.
The girls have had nothing. So we start, that's interesting to watch, too. First grade here in America, everybody is 6 or 7 years old. Well, in our schools, you could be up to 20 years old and be in first grade.
Mm.
Because some of these children, adults, really have never had education, and they have to start. So we have a program where we start them at first grade, but, you know, it's accelerated. They can pass on as quickly as they can.
Mm-hmm.
Because in many of these countries, if you don't have an eighth grade diploma, you can't get a license for a car. You can't buy property. There are many governmental restrictions without a diploma.
Mm.
And in these countries, public school you pay and Catholic school is free.
Is that right?
It's the opposite as it is here in America. So what we do, we have so many children in our school, so what we're actually doing now is paying for the overflow to go to public school.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
And where is the money coming from, the funding to do that?
And that's really my job. I look for the funding. I write grants and go to good people, and good people find us and help us out.
Mm. Now, I know that AIDS Orphans Rising, this book, 100% of the proceeds are going to the mission?
Correct. And in my research, I was hoping to find other groups, but our group is the only group where 100% of your money, 100% of your dollar will get to the poor. Many groups, it's a good question to ask when people ask you for money, what percentage of my money is getting to the poor?
Mm-hmm.
Some of these very large groups, only 3 cents of your dollar gets to the poor.
That is...
3 cents.
That is not
and one
good.
Of them, when they had one of these telethon,
mm-hmm.
I called and I said, well, what percentage is going to get to the children? 1 cent of every dollar raised went to the children.
Ah, that is not right.
It's not right. So you have to be very careful when people ask you for money. What percentage will get to the children? And we're able to promise you that any money that we receive for the children gets to them, because we have other ways of money that will pay for the sisters' trips, education, housing, things like that, where you were supported in another way for that.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there information and pictures and updates and that sort of thing on your website?
Yes, there is. It's a great website. Shall I say the site?
Sure, please.
www.AIDSOrphansRising.org.
Okay.
www.AIDSOrphansRising.org. And that also has the mailing address if anyone would like to send us a donation. It has pictures. It leads you to other sites.
Mm-hmm.
And you could also, on Amazon, besides purchasing the book, they also sell it as an e-book.
Great.
Yeah, so that's great. You can download it to your Kindle or whatever device you might have to read it, but you can also click and go to the sites that I've put in the book. So if someone's working on adoptions and they want to go, I have a couple hundred sites in the book, and you can just click it and go to that site right away.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Instead of having to type it back in.
Oh, that's great. That's
yeah.
A great, great resource.
And if anyone has trouble doing that, they could always send me an email. The email's on the site, and I would send them, you know, tell them how they can get easily to these sites.
Mm-hmm. Now, you just mentioned adoption, and I'd like you to talk a little about that issue. Tell us about the potential for adoption with these children, if it's happening, if the kids want it. And also, I think that you talk about virtual adoption, which I believe is kind of what most people understand is sponsoring a child.
Correct, right. Mm-hmm. What's happening now is a lot of the countries don't want the children to be adopted because they're afraid they're losing their future leaders. And it's true. If you're going to adopt a child, you look at these children, you pick the brightest one. And these children are clever. I've watched them. They know that people who want to adopt them are coming. So the whole little group, they're little politicians. They get out there showing, you know, how good they are, smart they are. So it's very interesting. So a lot of countries, especially Guatemala, for instance, will not allow any Americans to adopt any of their children. They put the clamp down on that. Right now, you have a good chance of getting Ethiopian children, but even that, the window of opportunity is closing. These countries do not want to lose their children, and you can't blame them, but yet they have to provide for their children, which they haven't started to do yet. So they have a lot to do ahead of them.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, sorry.
About the virtual adoption.
Yes.
And the virtual adoption where people pay money per month to adopt a child. You have to be really, really careful on this because I've seen places where they send the same picture to five people, you know. And if you're sending $100, for $10 I can buy 400 rolls for the children, you know. The money is very good. The exchange rate is really good. Sometimes it's more than 10 times the money that you send. So be very careful when you're doing this adoption from a distance. I'd say adopt the whole class because with $100 you can feed a whole class of children.
Mm-hmm. Are there any warning signs that you have for people that are sort of researching different resources like that to make sure that they're on the up and up?
Yes, it's in the book, and you just keep clicking the sites, and you'll be able to find out which ones are good and which ones are not. After you've seen three or four, you get the feeling right away. You're able to read what's happening and how much. And then also all of them have contact sites that you can write and ask them specific questions.
I think that's a really an amazing aspect of this book is the number of resources that you really do include.
I tried to put as many as I could because I know we are not knowledgeable of this topic at all, and I thought even that it would be good for schools of public health to use this book or anyone teaching about this.
That's a really good point. I want to just back up a little bit to the whole adoption issue as well because, you know, we're seeing a lot on, say, the TV, the different sources right now talking about adoption. People are adopting kids from Africa, but you're saying that they're starting to, you know, that may not be happening too much in the future. Are there any countries outside of Africa that are welcoming adoptions by U.S.?
Yes, China, you can still get children. India, you can get children. The trick is to find the group that will allow you to do it. You have to be patient. And what happens, what I've seen so many times, people who are trying to adopt, sometimes they'll get rejected one, two, three times. But then they'll get a beautiful child, and it's almost like this is the child God wanted them to have. So don't give up and keep working at it and keep networking with other people. That's the beauty of the Internet. You're looking for a child. You just go on the Internet and say, you know, I'm trying to adopt, and you'll get 1,000 friends all of a sudden, and they'll help you, people who have adopted already.
Now, with the donations that you do get, how do you decide how much money goes where? And I'd like to know more about this. You've got a food program, a hot lunch program. Tell us more about that.
Yes, it's interesting. You know, in America, what ended hunger was the hot school lunch program.
And that's just fascinating. You have to tell us more about that. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. And in the early 1900s, the children in America, in my book, I give the quote, Brooklyn and New York and all these places, the kids were starving. So what they did is they put in the hot lunch program, and that's what ended hunger in America. So what I'm trying to do is put a hot lunch program at all of our missions there. And what I hope to do, we have home economic schools at each of our missions. I'm hoping that the women will be the ones to cook the lunch, and then they can also sell it to people in town so that the money they make from selling it will help to pay for the children's. But the initial setup is very expensive, very costly.
So basically for the money that you're raising, food, and education are your two priorities?
Yeah, food and education and housing. We have to house them. It's interesting, the children that can't fit, in, I mean, we can't fit them all in the convent, so we pay, in Ethiopia one part, we pay $3 a month, and they get a cement, it's like a cement box. I don't know if you've ever, or you've seen these things on the highway, TED sheds or things mm-hmm. that you can rent. Oh, this looks exactly like that, and this is what the poor kids have. Mm. But they're happy. They mm-hmm. get their box, $3 a month, and sister goes around in the morning, wakes them all up, brings them to school, they get their breakfast, get a little something, and start their day. Aww. Then at night they go home, and we pay a woman to almost be like a guard for them at night so that they're safe.
Mm. Well, that's another issue, too. How safe are these areas that you're in?
It varies by country.
I guess so. Mm-hmm.
Right now at Ethiopia, most of the men are in the army because what's happening is Eritrea, the little country above it, wants to go to war. Most of them, their men are in the army. So throughout these little villages, there are very few men around. So in those cases, it's very safe. Some other countries, it's a little more risky. Brazil, we're having a very difficult time because they're stealing children for their organs.
Wow, so many layers to this issue.
Layers, it's really true. And those kids have nobody to fight for them.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I found interesting, whenever they write these rights for the children, they never ask the kids' opinion. You know,
isn't that
it's all done by adults.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so are you hopeful when you look to the future for these children?
Yes, for the ones we're working with, I'm very hopeful. But for the ones that aren't getting help, they're the ones that we have to reach out to. Mm-hmm. We can't. We're a small institute. We're only 800 in the world. And there, you know, if you have 4 million children in India this year alone that are orphans, somebody else has got to get out there and help them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd encourage everyone to help them. Often people say, well, I can't do anything. But so many ways, whatever talent you have, you can do something. I have a great friend, and he's a mountain climber. And last year he said, sister, you said St. Lucie wanted to be in every corner of the world. And I said, that's right. And he said, well, how about Mount Everest? And I said, fine. So he climbed Mount Everest, and he got sponsors. And we used the money. He actually brought the money himself to Eritrea for a little hospital we built for the children. Another girlfriend of mine is a runner. She runs 300 or 400 miles at a time.
Oh, wow.
And she gets sponsors, and she has helped us for many years. People who like to sew, you know, look at your old sewing machine. What are you doing with it? It's sitting there. Mail it. It will change a girl's life to receive a sewing machine. And anything you can do, old plumbers. If I had 50 retired plumbers, we could change the world. You know, it's just anything you can do, the world can use it. So I'd say put your mind to work and see how you can help these children.
I love that. Now, do you have on your website or in your book, do you have a list of those kinds of ideas? Because I don't necessarily think most people's minds go to that.
Right. Every chapter in the book has something like that, what you can do.
Oh, good.
And even people that are good on the Internet, I have a great friend, Jillian Coleman, and she was a grant writing teacher, and so I said, well, teach me how to write grants. That's the best way you can help these children, and she's been helping me tremendously. People write that maybe have money, but you say, I'm afraid to give to this person, afraid to give this person. Start your own family foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Then you decide who gets your money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
mm-hmm.
very effective to have your own foundation.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's very easy to set up.
I think most people just get overwhelmed when they think of that, so they just think it. Donation, and then they worry about where if the money's really
if
going.
If it got there.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. So how, you know, seeing all of this, I mean, how do you keep yourself positive? Because I could imagine some of these places could become so overwhelming.
Just when you're with the children, they're smiling, they want to make it, it keeps you going.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. What hurts me when I come home and I look at the pictures and I see these kids, I'm like, oh. You know, you think of, oh, I could have done this, I could have done that. But then you go back and you do more. That's all. Just you have to. They want to live so you can help them, and that's the nice thing. And they've always got a smile.
Mm.
They're ready to go.
Mm-hmm. They inspire you.
They do. They want to live.
Mm, that's amazing. So let's mention your website once again, AIDSOrphansRising.org.
.org, right.
Yes. And, you know, our time is kind of coming to an end here, sister. I'm just so happy to have had you on the program today, and I thank you so much. And just want to offer the final time for your last thoughts that you want to include today.
Sure. Thank you, Anita, for this. And don't think of this as a sad story. This is great. We can help these children succeed. And they're Africa's last great hope. If we can help them, Africa will be a great nation.
thank you so much, sister. It's just been a pleasure talking with you. Best of luck to your mission. I hope that everybody listening to this interview today decides to help in some way.
Thank you very much, and God bless you for all the good you do.
Thank you, and you too. All right, there you go, listeners. This has been Sister Mary Elizabeth Lloyd and her book, AIDS Orphans Rising. The website, once again, AIDSOrphansRising.org, an amazing, amazing organization. Please do check it out and see what you can do to help. Thanks for listening to Inside Scoop Live today in this powerful interview. I'm Juanita Watson. Until next time.